Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, that you are making this possible, that you're going to bless my brethren with this word today and prepare them for these things that are coming. Thank you so much for your mercy towards us, Lord, and opening our eyes and giving us wisdom. And thank you for your Passover, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, okay, saints, I'm going to share a word with you today that I think might edify you. We're going to call this The Wolves Released and Gathered. And first of all, I want to share with you that what I'm just about to share with you here is a calculation, not necessarily a day being predicted. But it seems very interesting that it's come up to this. Since we have been told by the Lord that spring was going to come in the fall, we have projected the spring Passover, which is the 14th day of the first Hebrew month, which is in spring, right? And that's of the Hebrew year. To the 14th day of the fall secular Jewish year, being called Rosh Hashanah, which comes out to September the 10th, which is the new moon. So the new moon sightings this year is the seventh new moon, is Tishri, Monday, September the 10th. And we're projecting this other one. The other one has already been projected. The new moon is the next new moon, which is in October the 10th. Okay, so September the 10th was supposed to be the first day of the first month of the secular year, according to the Hebrew biblical calendar. So if you add 14 days to that as parallel to Exodus chapter 12, which says the 14th day of the first month of the actual biblical year, you get September the 24th as the first Passover. Now, interestingly enough, Deb Horton arrived at 9:23, September the 23rd, because it was the autumnal equinox, which marks the first day of fall. And this would put the second Passover, when you translate spring to fall, in the second Jewish month around October 23rd or 24th, evening of 23rd to the 24th. So, why do we need a spiritual Passover? Well, what happens on that day? It's a day that the righteous are spared and the wicked are killed. And that could be, of course, the wicked in the government and in the world and the wicked in the church. So don't want to leave that out. There's an article about Antifa, MS-13 and Hezbollah being hired to kill conservatives and Christians from among the politicians, media, pastors, and the populace before the November elections. And it's an InfoWars article. I'll put the link here so that you can listen to it. Also, Matt Farah got the second Passover today in our morning prayer meeting, by faith at random. Interesting, huh? Yeah, let me read that to you. 2 Chronicles 30, 1 through 5. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord, the God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, meaning the first month, because the priests had not sanctified themselves in sufficient number, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. So God's people weren't ready to have a Passover. Boy, we've been talking a lot about Passover here. I'm hoping people are paying attention and doing it and being ready for this, because it may be that God won't delay it for people to catch up this time. It's the second Passover until next year, right? And the thing was right in the eyes of the king and all the assembly. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem, for they had not kept it in great numbers in such sort as it is written. Of course, that was the second Passover. So it's kind of interesting that this makes about the fourth time that we have received the second Passover verses in the last few weeks. And those, it's rarely mentioned in the Bible, so it's not an easy thing to put your finger on. You know what I mean? I received it personally Friday in my own personal prayer time, not in the morning meeting. And I got 2 Chronicles 29, 34 through chapter 30 and verse 5. And you can see on down where it talks about the second Passover from verse 12 to verse 15. Pretty interesting. There's a good message there. I'm going to take just a moment to share that message before I go on, because it's a message of sanctification. Okay, I'm in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to back up a little bit further to chapter 29 and verse 24. And the priest killed them, that's the sacrifices, and they made a sin offering with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all Israel. So this is the corporate offering for everybody. And we know that it is Jesus, right? He was the offering for all of Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. So I'm going to go on down a little bit. That was the corporate offering. And now it comes to our individual offering in verse 31. Because as you know, Jesus was sacrificed so that we could have all the benefits of that sacrifice. The death, the burial, the resurrection life, it's all been given to us. And we just received the end from the beginning. We call the things to be not as though they were because of that sacrifice. Our Passover lamb, by the way, has already been sacrificed, 1 Corinthians 5 says, and that's Jesus, right? So in 29 and 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, Now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. So they have believed in that first sacrifice. They have accepted that first sacrifice. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings unto the house of the Lord. So now this is another sacrifice. We know that Jesus told us, except you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. See, disciple is the term that's used in the New Testament, not Christian. And Christians become very loose nowadays, but a disciple is a learner and a follower. It's not just a hearer, but a doer of the word, you see. And of course, these are the only ones that are giving a sacrifice of their own flesh. When you do the word, you do not do your own thing. You follow the Lord. You follow his word. It's a sacrifice of yourself, right? And so he goes on to say, and the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. Now we learned what burnt offerings are. Notice this is a free will offering. God cannot make you do this. He can, if you ask him to put it in you to do this, but you got to ask, right? You have to seek the Lord, desire the Lord, right? Not just, he's just a meantime thing, and you give all the rest of your time to your idols, right? So this was people giving from a willing heart and burnt offerings. Well, we know that the Lord has shown us that we are the only continual burnt offerings. The Jews actually don't have a continual burnt offering. We do. But then when Jesus came, the people to whom he spoke became a different people, not a physical Israel, but a spiritual Israel. We have the burnt offering. And it happens when in the fiery trial we choose him rather than obey our flesh. Every time you disobey the flesh, it dies a little. Every time you obey God, you have chosen him, and you're going to have more of him. It's just that simple. But you're offering up your flesh. See, notice they're bringing their own flesh. That is the flesh of their beasts. You know this old man is a beast, right? They're bringing their own flesh to the altar to sacrifice it in a fiery trial, in a burnt offering. So, we are that continual burnt offering as long as we serve the Lord and not self. If you serve self, you're obeying the flesh, you're preserving the flesh. Remember, Jesus said, if you're going to preserve your life, you're going to lose it. So, in other words, you're not going to have your higher life if you don't give up your lower life, right? Jesus made it very plain. Very simple. People just cut those verses out. They don't believe the Bible. So they pick and choose verses. And that's a disaster. So now we're seeing this is the individual sacrifice. And they brought it of their own free will. Okay. And then verse 32 says, and the number of the burnt offerings which the assembly brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few so that they could not flay all the offerings, the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended and until the priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests were. Well, okay, who are the Levites? We're a kingdom of priests, the Bible says. Remember, the Levites were chosen from among all Israel to be gods. They belonged to God. They were his inheritance. And by the way, their inheritance in the land was nothing. Their inheritance was God. That's what he said. Remember, the Levites replaced the firstborn as a type and a shadow, right? So now it's the Levites who are the priests of God. And we're all supposed to be Levites if we sacrifice flesh. We're a kingdom of priests if we sacrifice our flesh. Is everybody doing that? No. But then a whole lot of the people that are called Christians are not Levites. They're not sacrificing their flesh. They go to church on Sunday to fulfill their obligation, and they go on off and do their own thing the rest of the week. So this is not discipleship. And Lord willing, by his grace, he's going to save a lot of those folks by giving them understanding to know what New Testament Christianity is all about, right? because they've been deceived by their leaders, who are just a bunch of playboys anyway. They're not really there but to do their job and go out with their toys and do their thing, you know. And a whole lot of them are like that, and so they're not going to put more responsibility out there than they're willing to bear. They can't teach above and beyond what they're living, because they'll sooner or later get caught, right? So, we bear our cross. We lose our life in order to gain our life, as Jesus said we must do. See, there's just all this once saved, always saved stuff out there. You've stepped over the line now. You just sit down on a pew and wait for Jesus, you know. And you only have to fill that pew about an hour a week, and you're okay, you know. So, verse 35. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and with the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order, and Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people, because that which God had prepared for the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Suddenly. So, and going right into chapter 30, because there was no number 30 right there. It just went right on in the original, right? And Hezekiah sent all Israel and Judah and wrote letters unto Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord, the God of Israel. What Passover was that? Well, for the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Why? Well, it says, for they could not keep it at that time, that is the first Passover, because the priests had not sanctified themselves in the sufficient number, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem is, of course, not the golden calves. It was for the people who were devoted to the true God and the presence of the true God and the true temple, which was in Jerusalem, etc. Some people wouldn't bother to cross the country in order to do this because it wasn't worth that to them. Okay. So, again, why do we keep coming up with this second month here? The second Passover. Well, it's a possibility that the Lord is saying, you're still in that season. You know, get ready. They're planning to do something. As we've been telling you, there's going to be a tax. There's going to be those that die by the sword and those that die by the pestilence, etc., etc. And that was at the hands of Babylon, which we see as the deep state now. It's the entity which is passing away, because Cyrus of Medo-Persia, who is Trump, is conquering them. Yes, and there ain't much they can do about it, because it's ordained of God. But some people don't have to live long enough to see it, the fruit of it, actually, and they won't. Now, apostates are going to be taken out because they're not keeping the Passover. They're not walking under the blood of the Lord. And we know that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So there's a walking under the blood that cleanses, right? So a lot of people are not walking under the blood. And I'm going to read on. And the thing was right in the eyes of the king and of all the assembly. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come and keep the Passover unto the Lord, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem. For they had not kept it in great numbers and such sort as it is written. So the posts went out to all of Israel. And I'm going to pick a couple of little places here and read them to you before I go on. Um, Well, in verse 6, middle of 6, he says, "Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to the remnant that are escaped of you out of the hand of the kings of Assyria." Who, well, first of all, the remnant was mostly Jerusalem, because as you remember, the king of Assyria conquered the northern 10 tribes with the golden calves. That was easy because they were idolaters. They didn't have God on their side. Then it conquered a goodly portion of Judah, except for those that scattered and escaped. Some scattered to Jerusalem. Some went other places and escaped. And then they came up to Jerusalem, which is the bride, and God smote with one angel, 185,000 of them, and they left. That was it. There was a remnant. Okay. And he said, "And be not like your fathers and like your brethren who trespassed against the Lord, the God of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation, as you see." Desolation is like the abomination of desolation. When you walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, that's the forehead and the hand, the works of the flesh, you're an abomination that maketh desolate. Because the Bible says if you walk after the flesh, you must die. Desolate, and of course desolate has another meaning, and that is devoid of God, right? So there's a desolation among Christians, because they're walking after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which is the spiritual mark of the beast. The physical mark of the beast comes to identify those who have the spiritual mark of the beast. The name of the beast is on the beast. It's that simple. Why do they take the mark? Because they don't trust in God, right? "Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary." That's the sanctified place. That's, "without holiness no man shall see the Lord." Holiness and sanctification is the same word in the Greek. "Which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive." Hey, do you want your children to come out of bondage? You got to serve the Lord. You know, in 1 Corinthians 7, he says the children are sanctified through the believing parents. Mm-hmm. So if you walk like a pagan, you don't have a promise there for your children. And, a lot of people have done a lot of destruction to their own families. When I see people fall into faction, their children immediately fall into it, immediately. And I've seen such corruption out of the children because the parents fell into disobedience to the Lord, and then God turned them over to the devil, right? "And shall come again unto this land," meaning the children, your friends, your children, those that you pray for, etc., etc. Your prayers are no good either if you're not serving the Lord. "For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, certain men of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. And also upon Judah came the hand of God to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord." Wow, praise the Lord. See, God can do that. He can give you a heart to do it. You just need to ask him to give you one heart to do this. I mean, is it not of ultimate importance to be under the Passover in the days to come? They're talking about bringing a lot of devastation against the country and the people of the conservatives in the country before the November elections. What is it, 6th or 7th, something like that. So, hey, that don't leave us a whole lot of time here. You want to be preserved from the destruction, whether it's the pestilence from the sky or whether it's the sword or whatever it is, famine, whatever it is, because when you have martial law, some people can starve. And so I believe martial law is coming, and I believe they're going to cause it, and I believe that the Trump side is going to use it to gather up people that are doing these kinds of things. Of course, they will have already done some judgment, may have burned down a bunch of churches, who knows, you know, railing against the conservatives and Christians and placards saying, I'm going to kill you. And I mean, it's out there. It's out there. These Antifa should be a terrorist organization. It should be noted as one so that, you know, they can be dealt with. People shouldn't be able to go around in masks anyway, whether it's the Ku Klux Klan or whether it's Antifa. Okay? You're hiding something from the law when you do that, right? So upon Judah came the hand of God and the princes and everything. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread. As you know, from the Passover on, there were 7 days of unleavened bread. And anybody who was found with leaven in their houses in that time were cut off from Israel. And you are your house. You know that, don't you? You're the house of the spiritual man. And you're the house of the carnal man. The carnal man has to die so the spiritual man can rule. Right? It's kind of like going to the Red Sea. The carnal man died in the waters, and the spiritual man came up on the other side. He ruled. So, and when did they do this? To keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. A very great assembly. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense they took away, and they cast them into the brook Kidron. They got rid of all their idols, all their praying to false gods, even false Jesuses. You know, there's only one Jesus, right? And then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. There it is. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought burnt offerings unto the house of the Lord. Ashamedness is kind of conviction, right? Conviction of sin. And they stood in their place after their order, according to the law of Moses, the man of God, and the priests received of the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the assembly that had not sanctified themselves. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of killing the Passovers, right? And Hezekiah prayed for the people a little further down. It's very interesting. Good story. Good story of sanctification for the time of the Passover, right? So, just thought I'd get in a good word there concerning all these other things that we're looking at prophetically. And so let's go to, again, we had received this four times recently, the second Passover, which is very unusual. And we thought, well, maybe the Lord's speaking to us. Duh. Maybe this is the time of this judgment that's going to be released or whatever, you know. Now, you can't do this in a day, so I'm not saying it's the only day, but It could be either in the middle of it, or it could be the beginning of it, or it could be. Could be. I'm just saying it could be, right? And then, I shared with you how Matt got it this morning in our morning meeting. And then Merlene got this Passover-type verse this morning, too, Proverbs 3:23-26. Then shalt thou walk in thy way securely, thy foot shall not stumble, and when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You don't have to worry about Antifa being outside your door, right? Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked. Yep, so, aha. You know what happens when there's a Passover? A desolation of the wicked and the safety of the righteous. Okay? When it cometh. For the Lord will be thy confidence and will keep thy foot from being taken. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Father. And Deb, and all these verses, by the way, were gotten by faith at random, asking the Lord to give a word of importance for our prayer meeting so we could pray about it and receiving it. So Deb got this Passover type verse this morning too, Revelation 12 and 14. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. So a time of peace and safety and learning, kind of like the disciples who gathered around Jesus for 3.5 years. Before the disciples went out in what we would now see as the second 3.5 years to solo and to bring the gospel as the two witnesses, two by two, went out to bring the gospel elsewhere. The good news that Jesus has come to live in his people, manifest himself in his people. And now the woman, who is the church here, by the way, because... John was said, come up hither and I'll show you the things that are going to come to pass hereafter. And this was a long time after Jesus had turned to the Gentiles. And so, by the way, grafted them into the olive tree, which he called all Israel. So the woman here is not Israel. That happened before this was written. This is the church. And the two wings of the great eagle represent overcoming. And flying represents overcoming. And going into the wilderness represents going into the tribulation. And, of course, Israel didn't jump over their wilderness and go to the promised land. They went through the wilderness to get to the promised land, right? So, there... Just like the disciples were, they were nourished by the man-child, or will be nourished by the man-child in the first 3.5 years, just as the disciples were for 3.5 years. Okay? Something else is happening, and we got verses, I think, that covered that too. Satanists are active, trying to curse the Kavanaugh nomination and the coming midterm revival and the elections with their Arch of Baal in Washington, D.C., et cetera, et cetera. I'll put a link here so you can see that. Basically, they're working. I don't give them a whole lot of credit. I think 3 times before they gathered around the world, they agreed around the world to curse Trump, and it seems like everything but that happened. So when God's people pray, they have authority over all the forces of darkness and over all the power of the enemy, including the devil. So when we get words of warning like that, that's the first thing we do is we cast it down. We've been given authority to bind on earth. And what we bind on earth is loosed, is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we take our authority seriously, and we do that. We do that in the morning, and we have seen just awesome answers, sometimes even immediately after we pray on certain things, whatever it is, you know. It's just amazing. But now, Brandy got this text this morning by faith at random, and literally yesterday I mentioned about the Satanists doing this, And about the second Passover, I mentioned it. And then this morning, Matt Farah got that text. And now Brandy's getting the text, which I spoke about yesterday evening at our pot blessing, the Satanists being active to do these things. And we prayed against that. Okay. So Brandy got this text. It's amazing. And it's about Satan in the deep state, destroying, being destroyed. Listen carefully. Isaiah 14, 12 through 20. How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, that didst lay low the nations? Now I want to say something. This deep state government is absolutely full of Satanism. Satan is definitely at the head of it. He is definitely sacrificing children. They are doing it in order to get power from Satan. The elite are Satanists. And so when they make Satan their Lord, he's the ruler. And he has been the ruler over the United States, even though he's under the real true God of heaven. And I remember a brother who dealt with the elite, and they told him that they were going to have to give this over to Trump because God has decided to do this, but they would come afterwards, right? So they believe, and they know, that their God, Satan, is under our God. It doesn't make any difference. They're full of sin. They can't do anything else. And they're full of demons, so they can't do anything else. You remember the demon said to Jesus, "We know who thou art, the Holy One of God." Well, how come you didn't humble yourself to him? Because they're demons. They have to do what they are. It don't matter what they know. You'd think, well, reason would say, hey, I better quit going in this direction. I'm serving the devil. He's going to lose this thing. You can't do anything but what you are. Even people that try to be Christians fail, and they realize they're just doing what they are. They haven't really trusted in God to give them the strength to be in them what they could never be. So they even though they have knowledge, it doesn't make any difference. They don't change. So, wow, how art thou fallen from heaven? Remember, Jesus said, I've seen Satan fallen from heaven. When does that happen? Well, you can see it over there in Revelation chapter 12. You know? Yeah, that's what he saw. Day star, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground that didst lay low the nations? Yes, through this Babylonish government, they have laid low the nations. They have constantly had wars to support, first of all, to offer sacrifices to their Lord Satan so for power, which doesn't seem to be working. And but also through the war machine, the military-industrial complex, the money has been funneled into the deep state to keep up the dirty work, right? So they have to keep wars going for a couple of really powerful reasons, they think. And thou saidest in their heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, that's Satan in the people doing this. And they thought they had it all tied up. Obama had, you know, had the invasion working wonderfully, filling the country up with Muslims that love to kill Christians and giving the homosexuals a lot more freedom. And he opened doors for them every time he could because they hate Christians too. And, of course, he's a communist, so they hate Christians too. So, I mean, you had at least three major groups joined together by him to destroy Christianity in America. And he thought he was going to exalt his throne above the stars of God. So, well, God stepped in when people prayed. didn't he? Did a wondrous thing, awesome thing. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. He was going to be above all the congregations out there in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And they, of course, did ascend above the clouds, and they started spraying us with chemtrails up there. Yes. And and by the way, that is a deep state thing. And it belongs to the elite. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, the place of the dead, to the uttermost parts of the pit. Well, that's a promise that God's going to take that body of Satan and bring it down, right? See, Jesus has a body. Satan does too. It's the body of the beast. They that see thee shall gaze at thee. They shall consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Yes, boy, I tell you, through the United States, they shook many kingdoms. They brought to an end many kingdoms. They never quit fighting and destroying people for oil, for money, to enrich the elite. They never stopped doing that, and now they're being curtailed. That made the world as a wilderness. Yes, every place America has gone with its military, it has destroyed. And overthrew the cities thereof, that let not loose his prisoners to their home. Yes, they destroyed the cities. They took in all of the Muslims that they could into the country that were ready to kill us. And they wouldn't let them go home. And they're basically not letting them go home over in Europe too. But there is a change. Some of their little kingdoms have been overthrown by conservatives. All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast forth away from thy sepulchre like an abominable branch, clothed with the slain. That's all the people he killed, and they killed, that are thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a dead body trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land. Yes, you, Satan, thou hast slain thy people. Oh, yes. Yeah, it wasn't just Las Vegas that they slayed their people. They're fixing to do it again. Thou hast slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall not be named forever. What a perfect text, right? Satan is active through the deep state, and the Lord is conquering him. And also, you know, as we have shared, we believe the Lord is going to take down the Babylonish pastors who have kept God's people in captivity, and a lot of individuals who have individuals of God's people in captivity, not letting them to be free to serve their Lord. He's going to remove a bunch of them too. And Barry got this this morning about the apostate leadership being judged by the sword and destroyer, which could be the plague. Jeremiah 15, 5 through 9. For who will have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? And this is apostate Jerusalem. You know what that was? That represents unregenerate Jerusalem. It represents not the bride, but the false bride. The leadership of God's people was Jerusalem, right? Or who will bemoan thee? Or who will turn aside to ask of thy welfare? Thou hast rejected me, says the Lord. Thou art gone backwards. Therefore have I stretched out my hand against thee, and destroyed thee. I am weary with repenting. And I have winnowed them with a fan in the gates of the land. I have bereaved them of children. I have destroyed my people. They returned not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. And I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a destroyer at noonday. There's that destroyer. You remember the destroyer that destroyed Egypt, right? True. But he passed over the Israelites. And I have caused anguish and terrors to fall upon her suddenly. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been put to shame and confounded. And the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies. I deliver to the sword before their enemies. So, says the Lord. Very good text there. And Michael got this morning a warning to the apostates too. Jeremiah 7, 25 through 28. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Well, you remember the history, right? All through the Old Testament, there was an apostate bunch faced by a man-child who spoke to them the word of the Lord, whom they hated and did not want to hear it. They closed their ears and stiffened their neck and rebelled against God. And is it any different today? Well, for some reason, the church thinks it is different today, but it's not. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. The church has done the same thing. And there is a remnant out there who has served the Lord by his grace. But so this fits both the Old Testament church and the New Testament church. And thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. And it's been done. How many times have these apostate churches heard the full gospel in one form or another and ignored it and heard the words about what the New Testament church was all about and ignored it? And they made it up themselves. It's all because they worship their leaders. They do not worship Jesus Christ, or they would have listened to his word. And they don't. They worship their leaders. And thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. And thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the nation that hath not hearkened to the voice of the Lord their God. Nor received instruction. Of course, he sent people to tell them the truth, and they wouldn't listen. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. So, since they're full of another word, not the word of the Lord, they are not coming into the image of Jesus Christ, which is what fruit is. Fruit is manifesting Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Not another Jesus, a weak and worthless Jesus that doesn't save, doesn't deliver, doesn't heal, doesn't give the gifts of the Spirit. No, that's not Jesus. He gave us his ministry. He gave us his healing. He gave us his deliverance, all being rejected by a very large portion of what we loosely call the church. It's a great falling away. So that fits very good with Vanessa's word this morning, which is a warning to them that to get back to the Bible and the real New Testament Christianity. And she got Ezekiel 43:9-12. It's amazing, folks, how often that they're just refusing to listen to the word. They have to ignore, tear the verses out of their Bible. Now, let them put away their whoredom, because they're committing fornication with the world. The world is in the church. Now they're like the world. They're not like the church. Not like the church of the Bible. They've received the seed of the world, so they're in whoredom. And the dead bodies of their kings. Well, I'm going to tell you what this is. This is those people that they have considered started their denominations, which they follow as idols rather than the Word of God. That's their kings. And let me tell you, sometimes those people that they worship were real reformers. But they don't listen to them either. They don't do what they did. They didn't get filled with the Spirit. They don't believe in it. Even though the reformers that they say started their denomination were filled with the Spirit of God. And they made them great heroes, but they won't obey them. It's exactly what the Jews did with their elders. You know, same thing. And the dead bodies of their kings, far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them. If you get them out of here, they're not really running the church. The Bible is, the Holy Spirit is, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the sons of God. And the Holy Spirit wrote the New Testament, and he did not delete anything supernatural out of the New Testament. It was an eternal covenant. And he said at the end of the book, if you add to, he'll add to you the curses that are in the book. If you take away from it, he'll take away your part in the tree of life. That's what the Holy Spirit said. So what are they doing? They don't have any desire to be saved. And God's been merciful for a long time, and now he's going to judge. So he said, if you get all this far from me, I will dwell in the midst of them forever. And thou, son of man, show the house to the house. What is the problem here? They don't know what the house of God looks like. They have no idea what the house is supposed to look like. So, son of man, which is a title for the man-child, Ezekiel, who was caught up to the throne, by the way, and came to tell the people of God the truth. So, and Jesus was also the man-child. He was called Son of Man, too, right? Now, Son of Man, show the house to the house of Israel. Why? Since they do not accept the biblical definition of the house of God, they have described New Testament Christianity as their dead religion. And you compare it to the book and you say, something missing here. Something's changed here. Something's not right here. You know? And all you who are honest out there, if you will read your book, especially your New Testament, you will flee from those places that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. You will flee. You're filling yourself with leaven. That's leaven. Remember the unleavened bread, the days of unleavened bread, 7 days, which represents also the 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel. If you got leaven in your house, you're going to be cut off from the people of God, because leaven creates another Jesus in you, one that is not acceptable in the kingdom. That they may be ashamed of their own iniquity. Show them the house. This is what the house of God looks like, which is, by the way, the people of God. This is what it looks like. so that they'll be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. In other words, it's a pattern, you got to follow it. They don't believe the Bible is a pattern. They believe it passed away back there with the apostles. Now, you've got no pattern if you believe that, obviously. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, make known unto them the form of the house. What does it look like? Well, I tell you, go read the book of Acts. You'll see what it looks like. Go read Corinthians, where it talks about the gifts moving and the power of God moving. You'll know what it looks like. That's the form of the house. That's the pattern. Except we're on a larger scale. And the fashion thereof and the egresses thereof. Why do you need to know about the egresses? Well, they don't know when they have left the New Testament church, the house of God. They don't know when they've walked out of it. They need to know what an egress looks like. They need to know if you walk in fornication and willful disobedience, you're not in the house of God. You just left. You went out the door. And it was you that left. And the entrances thereof. Oh my goodness. They don't know how to go into the house of God. They do not know how to enter the New Testament Christianity. They've been told, the prophets have told them, hey, you're missing it. You're tearing pages out of your book. You accept only what your apostate leaders respected. And all the forms thereof, every form is there. All the pattern has everything in it. And all the ordinances thereof. Oh. You know what he told them to do? Speak in tongues. Oh my, you act like that's voodoo. Speak in tongues. Pray in the spirit. And with your understanding. Oh, well, I can't understand it, so it must not. It's just crazy talk, you know. No, he said, and with your understanding. You can pray with your understanding, but you need to pray in the Spirit too, because the Holy Spirit praying through you is the most important prayer you can pray. Because he knows all, and he knows what to pray for, and you don't. And all the ordinances thereof, they tear those out of their Bible. Anything's got anything to do with the supernatural, you can only be a dead church among them. That's what the house of God looks like. And they call that building the house of God, and it's not. The building is God's people. And God's people walking in the steps of Jesus, that's the sanctified, holy house of God right there. And if you're not among them, you're leavened. You're northern 10 tribes. You're worshiping the golden calf. He couldn't do anything either. And all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof. Notice he's kind of pointing out the same thing again. Why are you tearing books out of your Bible? And write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof. He is really stressing this. The whole form thereof. And all the ordinances thereof, and to do them. See, because they don't believe they have to do them. They believe that's all under grace. You can go to church on Sunday, obey the preacher, and you have fulfilled your obligation. And anything else is works. Well, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of man's works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus have you been created for good works. So if you're being created for good works and not just man's works, you're going to be doing the works of God. These, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He that believeth. So people say they believe on Jesus, but they're hearers of the word, not doers of the word. Jesus showed us just what to do. He was the master. The disciples looked on him and did likewise. So you can't have a dead church. If you're in a dead church, you're not in a church. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. This is the law of the house. You either are in the house or you're out of the house. And if you're in the house, you can observe everything the book says, all the laws thereof and all the forms thereof, right? Behold, this is the law of the house. That's awesome, ain't it? Yes, God is so good. Okay, Sue Gilbert got a warning of reprobation of those who do not accept the word. And they received it right out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. And by the way, they're still doing it. Because when he sends somebody and they are rejected, Jesus said they were rejecting him. So it's still the mouth of the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ, by the way, looks just like him. It does just what he did. And the rest of that is not the body of Jesus Christ. In fact, we found out what church means. It's the called out ones. What were they called out of? The denominations, the dead denominations of Judaism. The things that have been or the things that shall be. Now, who is the church of God today? Those who are called out of the dead denominations of Christianity. So he's talking here about reprobating, which is what happened when Jesus came, by the way. When the man-child showed up, many people had just been reprobated. Luke 8:10. He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. That's a reprobation. And she also got this verse as a reference from that one, Matthew 13:10-17. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. And they really can't understand them. If you try to give them a mystery, it just ain't going to happen. Have you noticed? Well, they're getting harder. They're very indignant about following their false Jesus. It's Baal, actually. It's not Jesus at all. It's Baal. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. If you've got fruit, you're going to have more. And he shall have an abundance. But whosoever hath not, it was just like the parable of the talents, right? Same thing. Talent. I don't think the word talent there was, I think that it's not an accident that it was put there. You know, he gave us talents. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. So the guy that had the one and he buried it in the ground, thinking he was going to give it back just like it was to the master when he returned, he was an unfaithful steward to be cast forth into outer darkness. You think that's all you're going to get? Listen, there's people that sit on a pew for 40, 50 years, and they've borne no more fruit of Jesus because they sat there listening to that leaven all that time. But whosoever hath not, that is fruit, which is Jesus himself, he is the fruit. If he's the sower, and he's sowing the seed, and the seed is the sperma of God, which is a Greek word, then the fruit is himself. If you've got strange children that the prophet spoke about, it means they don't look like the Father. Well, it's because what was sown in them didn't come from the Father, right? From him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see. Now remember, this is the Jews, and this was their Jewish leaders. They were used to going every Sabbath and listening to these people. And they held them up there on a platform. And know what Jesus told them? You're from beneath. I'm from above. Therefore, speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see, and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear, and heard them not. Now, I think it's very interesting that while I was thinking down this vein, Barry reminded me, Barry Weeks reminded me of a couple of dreams that him and Vanessa had. It was all about gathering up the wolves. And it's very interesting. So I believe when they go out there to do their terrorist works, they're going to be able to do some, because God's going to use them as vessels of dishonor to take out some. And but also, they're going to identify themselves, and they're going to be rounded up. It's kind of like this Supreme Court nominee, Kavanaugh. Did they show themselves who they really were? Yes, they did. I think that's why the Republicans stood down and let them make a fool out of themselves. They weren't. They knew that they needed to do this, but they were very calm about it. The president was very calm about it, and they let them make a fool out of themselves. And now they know who's who, and they're investigating them too. I tell you, the Lord is speaking and acting through this new generation of revived politicians here. Anyway, I'm going to go to Vanessa's dream first, removing the wolves from their place. And she had this back on 8/21/16. I'm going to share it with you. I woke up hearing the words, removing from their place. Removing from their place. And I believe this is beginning to happen. Corruption is, of course, being revealed. And that's what I wrote back in 2016. Yes, and it was too, wasn't it? And I asked, and Vanessa went on to say, I asked the Lord for a word about this and received Luke 24:13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 60 furlongs from Jerusalem. So they hadn't quite arrived at the New Jerusalem yet. Emmaus means warm spring, Vanessa said. Warm spring? Could this be our spring in the fall? And she said, it seemed to me that the first scripture was a confirmation for the when. And kind of like the man-child coming into resurrection life. I asked for a confirmation and received Jeremiah 4:24. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. And she says the second verse is the how. And my thought here is that the kingdoms are represented here by mountains and hills, and they're being shaken. Remember, with the coming of the man-child, kingdoms are going to be overthrown, like it says in Haggai. At the time, Zerubbabel was laying the foundation for the house of God. And so do we see kingdoms being shaken out there? Yes, they went very far left with a bunch of people who are just totally demon-possessed. And Satanists, by the way, you can tell because they got the same demons. They got the same demons as the faction against the church is. They got the same demons. Witchcraft and faction, most of all. And when they preach it out there through their false prophet media, guess what? It takes people over. You see how crazy those people are? You can't reason with them. You can't say, hey, we have no evidence against this man. You brought no evidence. You're innocent until proven guilty. Oh, they don't care because they don't have any interest in truth. They're total reprobates, no conscience left. They'll rail at somebody who's holding to the truth and to the evidence, and they think they're really righteous. But you see, they have no interest in democracy. They do not believe in democracy. They don't believe in the vote. They didn't believe in the vote for Trump. They don't believe in the vote for Kavanaugh. They don't believe in the vote. They don't have any interest. These are communists, plain and simple. And of course, Soros is one of them. And he's hiring a bunch of them. So this second verse is the how. And the kingdoms are being shaken. And then I asked the Father who was to be removed and received. Esther 6 and 14. Another interesting verse. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared. Oh. Yes, he's about to stumble on God's girl here and get taken out. Remember, the Assyrians came up to Jerusalem, the bride, and they got taken out. Yep, same with Haman. And she said this third verse represents the who? The head of the beast, the evil government leaders. Yep. And these wolves who wanted to destroy God's people are to be removed. Amen. And this is a perfect lead-in to Barry's revelation, which was days later. Perfect, perfect lead-in. The wolves, the predators. Yep, they're predators because they don't care how many of you they have to kill to keep power. Kind of like at Las Vegas, right? It didn't bother them a bit. No such thing as innocent people. They're just all sacrifices to Satan. And Vanessa said, I think God is encouraging us that this will happen as we repent and pray. Yes. Yes, Haman will be taken to the noose. Yes, this condition has been given with this promise all along. Sacrifice the flesh. That's right. Draw near to God by confession of sins and faith towards him, and then cast down the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. Amen. And as I said, this revelation really prepared us for Barry's dream about 10 days later. Barry Weeks, 8/31/2016. And Deb Horton put a couple of notes in here too. Barry said, I had this dream twice, which has never happened to me as far as I can remember. Yeah, Genesis 41 and 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Okay, so shortly after he gets this dream, it's coming to pass, right? Whether it was me or my dog who was first alerted to the noises outside, I don't know. But as I stood at my screen door and looked out, and he has a, actually Deborah put a note here, the screen door is interesting because a screen is also a sieve. In other words, you can only see part of the picture through a screen. We see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face, right? So he was looking out, and of course we didn't have the full understanding of what he was seeing back then, even though most of what I've said to you here is the notes that I put back then because we got some understanding of it. he said, I saw a huge horse in the distance on a dirt road far to my left. Oh, so whatever this horse is doing, he's doing it on the left, galloping towards us. That is coming closer, but to my left. And then I saw that it was pulling a wagon with a driver seated on it. And, yep, that could be the Lord, right? But it also could be President Trump, because the Lord is doing a lot of this through him. And the wagon was similar to the old-time circus wagons with bars which animals were put in. And it was full of wolves. So, rounding up the wolves from the left wing and the enemies of God's people. Rounding them up. Oh, glory to God. So, we've received revelations that Trump is giving away timepieces. In other words, he's giving us some time. And as a matter of fact, I don't think the first 3.5 years of the tribulation would be so relatively peaceful if it weren't for these people being locked up or done away with, right? And Barry went on to say, I think it was both the sound of the horse's hooves together with the wolves howling that alerted my dog and me to this and brought us to the door to see what was happening. My little dog, a Sheltie, I believe, was troubled and distressed, whimpering and trying to get out the door and run towards them. Sheltie, Deb says, is a shortened version of Shetland, meaning mainland. The mainland could be the U.S. Yeah. I was holding her back, speaking gently to her, trying to calm her, trying to bring peace, right? As the people of God do, they tried to bring peace and safety and security through the promises of God. We are the ministers of reconciliation, reconciling people to God, and so on. So this is our job, right? Most of my attention was on her since I had such compassion on her in her distress and was working to protect her. The righteous have a burden to protect the U.S. from the wolves who are in power. Yes, and many have lost their lives in this effort to bring these people to justice. How many presidents? I'm not sure. I think 3 have been killed because they went against the deep state. Yep. And he has a note. Also, the dog could represent the beast nature in us, the flesh, which we must hold back in the face of threatening situations, or those we perceive to be threatening. And Galatians 5 and 16 and 17 is what he gives. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts or desire of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. But these are contrary one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. The things that you desire to do, the word desire is the word lust, same word. The things that you desire to do are contrary to God, because the flesh is against the Spirit and the Spirit is against the flesh. If you know what the flesh wants to do, you better find out what the opposite is. Right? That we would not do the things that we would. So you see, we do have to bear our cross and follow Jesus, right? So here I believe we see, he says, the spirit man subduing his flesh during the crisis. In other words, here's that continual burnt offering, right? Burning up the old flesh, right? By putting it on the altar. Which it was, from the dog's perspective, sensing the wolves. Knowing that God has it already taken care of. Yes, he does. Yes, he's given us so many really good promises about the Passover that we should not worry. And we should not fear man. Fear of man brings a snare. One of the articles I gave you about the enemy arming up to go out and kill people, the advice given there was, get your shotgun. Yeah. But a person that trusts in the sword is going to die by the sword. So that's a promise from God. So we really have to do something more than that, because your shotgun is not going to outdo these people. They're not going one to a house, you know. Anyway, those wolves were a known problem in that area. This is the knowledge that he had in the dream, I believe. And, of course, they are. And I took this to be a great and noble thing that this man driving the coach had done. Yes, amen. To round them up and take them away from the wooded area in the distance where that they lived. It was a great service for those of us who lived in that rural area. Yeah, amen. And, of course, President Trump is doing a great job. And a lot of men that are working with him are doing a great job to round these people up. And they know it. And they're not going to go down without a fight. You're going to see false flags of different kinds. They're not going down without a fight. They know that they're going to be locked up or executed. So, because they are traitors. But it's normal to them. It's you see, when people have demons, they have a whole set of morals that are totally different from yours, right? And they even glory in their evil because they've got no conscience. It's seared as with a hot iron. So this person was doing a great service to them in the rural area. But later I did wonder why he didn't just kill them. Well, he may do that. I mean, if they ship them down to Gitmo and I think three other places that they have made to do the same thing, they may have some executions there. The first thing that came to my mind that night was that the man was the Lord. This is my part here. The Lord using Donald Trump. Yes. And others somehow rounding up radical Muslims, and my part, I added, was liberals, communists, anarchists, Satanists, pedophiles, etc. They're rounding them up. A great threat to the people of the United States, Barry said. Amen. It could be about evil government leaders being exposed, put on display, and or behind bars. And there's quite a few people given a pretty reasonable explanation about John McCain, how that he was executed. He made a deal with them that instead of going to Gitmo and getting it down there, he would take it here and go out like a hero. Of course, there are some people totally disagreed with him being a hero, and I agree with them. It would take a large horse to pull that wagon. I found this scripture, which seems to apply, Ezekiel 22 and 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, that they may get dishonest gain. True. And they have plundered the people of America. The Fed, which is seemingly being done away with, has plundered the people of America. It's a dishonest, not government organization. It's the elite getting their money off the top, basically. We're paying them to rule over us. And of course, they're about to do away with the Fed and with the dollar, ultimately. They're about to do the global currency reset to bring all the money up onto a par. And, of course, that's, in the short run, going to redistribute the wealth, and I believe into God's people's hands, but also it's also a foundation for the mark of the beast and the one world currency, right? Amen. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls that they may get dishonest gain. And this could mean the political princes being removed because they have plundered the people with money far beyond what they make in their offices, if you know what I mean. How can you come out with millions and millions and millions of dollars, sometimes billions of dollars, on the salary that you get in office, right? While I'm on this, I'm going to take a little momentary detour. I have in my hand a picture, and it is from The Economist magazine back in 1988. It was the cover of The Economist magazine back in 1988, which was a magazine of the elite. And it has a phoenix on the cover of it, standing on a bunch of dollar bills that are on fire. And, of course, they're wanting to do away with paper money. And the interesting thing is there is a medallion on the front of this phoenix, which arises out of the ashes, and in this case, of the ashes of the dollar. And that medallion looks a lot like the Bitcoin. But this was in 1988. And it has on the coin, going across the top part, 10 written as T-E-N, and then 10, the number 10, and then Phoenix. And at the bottom is 2018. 10-10-2018. And, of course, we're coming to that, 10-10. And the GCR has moved about as far as it can before it totally starts redistributing the wealth. And, of course, people who have bought into currencies that were pennies on the dollar are now being raised up to be a level with America's currency, which, of course, makes those people extremely rich. And I'm not involved in it. I don't haven't invested in it or anything like that. I'm just telling you what is coming. And I believe that the Bible is clear that before the children of Israel went into the wilderness, they were given, they plundered Egypt, the Bible says, and gold and silver especially was given to them before they went into the wilderness. And of course, some people turned it into an idol. But you know, the things that have been are the things that shall be. We know in some cases it's not going to be for an idol. It's going to be used for the people of God. And so that's pretty interesting. So getting back to our text here. The princes are wolves. The political princes are wolves, and sad to say, the religious princes are wolves too. And that's what this was talking about. Then later in the night, I had the same dream again, with only one difference. The horse looked like a normal-sized horse this time. And Deb said, it's a twofold judgment coming. The second normal-sized horse may represent the Lord rounding up the apostate religious leadership of the church, which he is also calling wolves, right? And I think that's why I received this verse by random this day. Matthew 7:15, Deb says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. How's that? You think that's an accident? Well, Deb decided to put a few notes in here, and that's one of the verses she got that day. So we're seeing two different situations here. One is the princes of the country, the princes over the country, and the other is the princes over the church, right? Again, we're finding the same thing that I've been talking about. And, of course, this would take a smaller horse. And the David man-child in whom the Lord comes by spirit and word is coming shortly to take people into the wilderness. But before that, the money that I talked about is going to be handed out. And the death of Saul and his administration at the hands of their own beastly flesh preceded the resurrection of the David man-child ministry. So pretty neat picture that the Lord is pointing out to us there. It fits very well. So, friends, we need to pray. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're the ones. He said you have not because you ask not. So, therefore, if we don't exercise the authority that we have to ask of God or to administer judgment as God speaks, Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be done unto thee. You know, we are the ones who do the decreeing. We have authority on earth. It was given to us. No, it's not given to the people who are not full gospel people. It's not given to the people that don't believe in the house as it was built in the days of Jesus. Right? It's given to the people. It's a promise to God's people who walk after him and manifest godliness. Right? So, Father, we come against all these things. Yes, the Satanists have, you know, posted their curse. And we cast it down in the name of Jesus. We forbid every work that they are doing to destroy the people of God and the house of God, a total failure. We declare it in Jesus' name. We declare that these people who are Satanists and their Lord Satan are going to be cast down just like they were in the very beginning of the tribulation, you know, as in Revelation chapter 12, where Satan is cast down. And because of the word of their testimony, because of the blood of the Lamb, and because they loved not their life unto death, they were the ones who cast him down. So therefore, Lord, we take your authority to cast him down and all of his princes, and all of those that worship and praise and give thanks to him and sacrifice the babies and commit all kinds of evil fornication in order to honor you, Satan. And we cast all that down. We thank you, Lord, that they're all going to be rounded up and they're going to be scurried on to the place where they meet their judgment. Or they meet it on the road. I don't care, whatever God says. And Lord, we just love that when you save people, we always prefer that over judgment. We always prefer that you save, but in some instances you have decided to reprobate, or you have decided to destroy those that have never come into the kingdom in the first place. So, thank you, Father. We know that you're doing all this to give us a reprieve from the plan and the plot that was set up against us, and that the trap that they laid, they're falling into it themselves, as your word clearly says will happen. And the pit that they dug, they're falling into it themselves, as your word clearly says. And Lord, we've just put our trust in you. We're just praising you, Lord, that the Satanists, the liberals, the communists, the anarchists, the pedophiles. We thank you, Lord, for justice. Your people love justice just as you love justice. It's a thing about righteous people. They love to see justice. And Lord, we love to see the justice that you're doing now. We thank you for continuing as a wave going around this world, Lord, to give us that relatively short time. It is a time of degeneration, and people's minds are more corrupt than ever before. There's more opportunity to sin today than there ever was on the face of the earth, and people are deciding to sin. And even the church, so-called, is deciding to sin, but not the real church. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. We cast down all of their efforts. We pray, Lord, that your church discover the entrances and the egresses of the house of God, what it takes to enter in, and what they do that puts them without, even though they don't know it, they don't see it, they don't understand it, and they don't perceive it. Lord, they don't think anything can put them out of the body of Christ, but you said plainly that any leaven that's found in their houses, they will be cut off from the people of Israel. They don't believe that. They've made up their own doctrine, Lord. Once saved, always saved. But they don't understand. You're only saved by faith. The manifestation is Jesus Christ. The way you're proving that you have faith is because he's going to give you power to walk in his steps, and his fruit will be in you. And those that don't bear fruit of Jesus Christ, who is the sower, who sows the seed, prove themselves not to be his children. So, Lord, we ask that you convict those who are just ignorant and caught up in all this, and all they need to know is, what does the house really look like? We pray, Lord, that you get that word out there, that they will understand what the house of God really looks like. And that it hasn't really changed, except that it's bigger. It hasn't really changed from the time of Jesus, except that it's bigger. Now, Lord, there are people that want to kill Kavanaugh, his wife, other conservative leaders that have brought this about and raised this up. We ask you, Lord, because of their sacrifices in angering these wicked people, that you send forth your angels and protect the righteous, those that are not necessarily righteous as concerning the kingdom, but conservative in their ways, not believing in debauchery and all these things, wanting to see justice. I mean, there are people who are, according to the world, are good people. And I pray, Lord, that you will protect them so that they can really be good in your kingdom. That would be awesome. And Lord, we just curse that arch of Baal in the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, a lot of Christians are worshiping Baal. He's the false father of the virgin-birthed Tammuz from Babel. That's who he is. And so they worship a God that does not exist. They have made a Jesus who smiles upon their debauchery as far as making a totally different house of God. And Lord, we ask that you open your people's eyes and deliver them from bondage to their apostate leaders, Lord. Lord, should this second Passover be what we think it could be, and that there is judgment going forth? And I ask, Lord, that your people understand Psalm 91, claim it as their own, ask that your angels and your Holy Spirit lead them to Psalm 91, lead them to the Passover, lead them to understand that, yes, there's still a Passover, and our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. And that they would put their trust in you for their deliverance and their salvation. Lord, we pray that in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that the people of God get their eyes opened to recognize this great miracle that you are doing. This great, awesome miracle that you are doing. It shows your great mercy, Lord. We know that this door is opening, kind of like the Soviet Union. The door was opened for somewhat of a democracy for a short time, and then it started closing. And so we know that these criminals out there don't believe in any kind of democracy. We know that there's only one real true leadership, and that's a theocracy. That is, people under God. And so, but democracy is more freedom to the people than communism. And these people don't understand that. So many of these people would gladly turn America into a communist state, even in their ignorance that no communist state has ever worked. Because if you get paid the same as the guy next to you, no matter how hard you work, you tend to not work as hard. It's just the way communism works. The only communism that does work is in your kingdom, Lord, where everybody gives to everybody's needs and nobody's lifted up above anybody else. And everybody is doing it from the heart because you've put it in their heart. It's a commune of sorts. And, you know, they went into the wilderness and measured the omer of the manna from heaven, and they wiped it off, and whatever that went into somebody else's omer until theirs was filled, and that there might be equality, your word says. Everybody having their needs met. Maybe not everybody's got the same vehicle or anything like that, but everybody's got their needs met. Lord, we like that thing, and that's what you worked in your people when you poured out your spirit upon them. Oh, glory be to God. Because they no longer love the things of the world. They love the people of God. They loved your kingdom. They loved you. And the other things just become very dim compared to that. And we thank you for it. So, Lord, I ask that you put a spirit of prayer in all of the brethren out there to, first of all, pray for the ones that they're praying for, that you would keep them in this time to come, because they don't know yet about a Passover. They don't know about a Psalm 91. They don't know, most of the church does not believe that you have provided for them all of their needs according to your riches and glory. All of their needs. They don't know it. They don't believe it. And they would die unless somebody prayed for them and you covered them by your grace, Lord, until they could grow up in you. I know some, Lord, the disciples were miffed that you didn't give them the revelation of these wonderful things. And he said, but to you it's given, and to them it's not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So there are people you will not enlighten. They will fall away. And even in the church, we see them falling away and gathered with the tares. And because of their sin, their lust to walk after the flesh, they're being gathered out of your kingdom, the Bible says. Meaning they were in your kingdom, but they're being gathered out of your kingdom, as your word says. And Lord, when we recognize them, let's not waste a whole lot of time on them, Lord. Let us go on to the people, that you have humbled and are ready to receive the word of the kingdom. Lord, let us be useful in your kingdom, all of us. Let us serve you. The Great Commission, Lord, is to all of us. We ask, Lord, that you would raise up in the heart of your people the same heart that Jesus had when he preached the Great Commission. And so, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, let your people work in you all that you put willing in them. And we ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Father, we thank you that everything has been given to us from the cross. We have the life of Jesus Christ. We've been delivered from the power of sin, delivered out of the power of darkness, yet some people still choose to live there, even though you delivered us out. They don't believe the gospel, the good news that we've been delivered out of their power. They have no power over us. And Lord, let the knowledge of this be given to your people, because they're serving Babylon, its kingdom, Satan himself, who rules over Babylon. And they're serving their flesh and they're serving the devil. And they don't even know it, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to open eyes to let them to see the fullness of the pattern of the house. Like a good friend of mine years ago who was a Baptist Sunday school teacher, he got a revelation a word of knowledge you put in his head. And he just started speaking it and speaking it and speaking it. I remember what Ray said when he was in the Baptist teaching of Sunday schools. It's all still true. And he kept saying that over and over. And of course, all of the Baptists around him agreed with his wife to have him locked up as though he was crazy because he no longer believed their hogwash. Of course, when he got out, he still believed it. It's all still true. And when he ran into me, I was telling him all still true. And he says, yeah, that's what the Lord showed me, you know. And he was just so excited. He was so happy to meet me. And we had good fellowship for years. And he passed on to be with the Lord. So anyway, it's all still true. Yes, it was an everlasting covenant. According to the New Testament, we dare not add to it or take from it. If you're in a church that's doing that, adding to it and taking from it, please get out of there. You're committing suicide, spiritual suicide. Get out of there. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you open the eyes of your people, that they would, like the world in America and around the world is seeing through the globalists and who's actually running it and how stupid and evil they are. Let your church see the same, Lord. Let them see in what they have thought was the kingdom of heaven. Open their eyes to see the criminals that are running this thing and plundering your people, just like the criminals in politics are plundering your people. Who needs 17 airplanes? Criminals. Yep, they've engineered the Word of God to say what it doesn't say so they can be rich. And they're so happy. But they're living after the lusts of their flesh every day, and they're not bearing the fruit of Jesus. One day, if they don't repent, they'll be faced with this reprobation. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you would grant grace to your people to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and don't touch the evil thing. And I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Yes, Lord. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What concord is a temple of God with idols? Right? What agreement hath a temple of God with idols? Lord, let the idols crumble. Lord, take the riches from these people and give it to your people who have been in need all around them and they cared not. Take it from them and give it to the others. These are the people that when they go into the tribulation with their gold and silver are going to have it become an idol and cast it into the brook Kidron. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We put our trust in you in the days to come. We are going to be at perfect peace because you said you would keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, we know what your word says, Lord. We know you're going to protect and bless us, and we thank you for all of your people. Lord, we also know that some people are going to pass on. Even though they're ignorant of a lot, they're going to pass on and be in your kingdom. I would say, in many cases, in a lesser place in your kingdom. But they will be in your kingdom. And that we give thanks for that, Lord. We know that ignorance is not necessarily, depending upon where you are in God, an evil thing. It can be an evil thing. But ignorance with innocence is not bad. I passed through one of the churches that I mentioned. Took me just a very, very short time until I realized they don't believe this book. I'm going. And I did. And then my friend that actually witnessed to me, he came out from among them too. And so, you know, you're not bad until you have begun to reject the word of God and accept what these people say. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you and keep you, and we'll do this again. Good night.